Praise the Lord, new life. How are you all? Praise the Lord, new life. Can you put your hands together for Jesus one more time? We sung a song last time we was here. It was a song that we had written. It was a song for young folks. It's a song that Jesus said, Jesus is the one that makes my heart go bang, bang. Oh, wow. And I heard there were some people who were mad at us because we didn't do it last night. And so we want to give our sincere apologies to all of New Life for not doing this song for you all. But we're going to do it for you tonight. Is that fine? Amen. So you hit the track, dude. So if y'all can rock side to side with us, come on, come on. Here we go.
Life for a friend.
Yeah.
He came for glory. Here's a story. He was born to die so we could live. Yeah. And this is why I say,
He's the one that makes my heart go bang.
Yeah.
He is sweeter than the newest thing.
Than the newest
Not a physical,
thing.
But a spiritual kind of love. When you ask me how I feel, I'm gonna tell you.
Put your hands together for Jesus Woo! While I get the keyboard set. This song, the song says, friends, you may be seated. And I think the best person to introduce this song is my sister, Shekinah. She has really grown in her relationship with God, and I love the way that she talks about this song. Shekinah, can you talk to him?
Yes, Gary. The Bible talks about a psalm, and it says, "Bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits." And then it says, "Who forgives your iniquities?" You see, a true friend is somebody who knows you the best and still loves you. And I don't know about you, but God sees every last ounce of my mess. And then he still manages to love me. Does God have been like that to anybody else in here? Thank you, Jesus. And this song says, God, I thank you for being my friend. I thank you for seeing my beginning, for seeing where I am now, for seeing all the mistakes I'm going to make tomorrow, and for still loving me. For still loving me. And there will never be a friend as dear to me as you. Now worship with us as we sing this song.
Friend, there will never be a friend as dear to me as you, Jesus. There will never be another closer than a brother.
Lift your hand and just say hallelujah.
Oh, 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 you know all about me, the good and the bad. You know when I rise and fall.
See my beginning.
You see my beginning. You stand.
Thank you. Happy to be a friend of God in here.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know, one of the things I love the most about being a friend of God is that no matter what comes your way, He's always there. And as long as you're willing to keep on trying, He's willing to keep on believing. And so the Bible said that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so this song says, I'm still standing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I'm still standing. So I might have messed up last year and I might have did some things wrong, but this year, I want everybody to know that I'm still here. And you might have knocked me down. You might have hit me a hard left blow to the jaw. But I'm get back up and I'm going to still praise Him. So we're going to sing this song called Still Standing. Put your hands together and say, Still Standing.
Oh,
if not for your goodness.
Oh, if not for your goodness,
if not for your love,
for your grace, I don't know where I would be today. If not for your kindness, I never could say I'm still standing.
Oh,
if not for your mercy, your mercy,
somebody put those hands together. Here we go.
Clap your hands unto him tonight. No, go ahead and give him high praise. If nothing else, just because you're still standing. Hey! Oh, every voice, every hand. Praise God. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be there when the dust settles. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be there when the Lord calls his home. Praise God. Let's give a hand to these kids tonight. We love them and appreciate them. I appreciate their ministry. Praise God. They inspire and they bless. And it's an awesome, awesome thing to be in the house of God with them. We appreciate Brother Gary Ellis tonight. Wonderful friend in the kingdom of God. And Sister Ellis sends you her regards. She would be here, but she's in the frozen lands of Canada teaching a ladies' meeting up there, a prayer conference or something, and they're spread out between Dan and Beersheba. And I know she's the better half, but we'll take the half tonight. It's better than nothing, huh? Now, Brother Ellis, wonderful, wonderful brother in the kingdom of God, served his country wonderfully. We thank you for your service to the country in Desert Storm. And came home. He and his wife received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, got snowed in Germany. And God, you know, just alone with God and the Word of God. And they found out about the name of Jesus. Jesus' name baptism. Righteousness and lifestyle. because God talks to people. Isn't that an awesome thing? Came home with a passion and a burden to build a church. And Clarksville is an excellent, excellent church tonight. One full of wonderful people. Want to pray for them that God would just give them everything they need. They're in the middle of building a brand new building right now, and it's going to be awesome when they get in there, because they're packed in like sardines right now. And they're just wonderful in the kingdom, and they're a blessing in the house tonight. I want him to come, and I want him to take his liberty with us. Would everyone say, preach to me? Would you say, take your liberty and talk to me, Brother Ellis? Say, I want to hear the word of God. Praise God. We love you.
Let's lift our hands and love the Lord all over the room. Hallelujah. Let's just love on him just for a moment. Just lift your voices. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just love the Lord for just a moment. With my heart. So delighted to be here tonight. I have had such a wonderful weekend. This is one exciting church. Somebody say amen. And I really believe it. And let me tell you, if you get bored around here, you need some help. Praise God. This is exciting. I had a man once who was sharing with me his frustration with a church like this, and he talked about how he felt like that was such a distraction to him. And I said, well, I appreciate your feelings, because my church pretty much like this too. So I said, he didn't know that. I said, well, that's because you've never gotten up from the gate called Beautiful. The Bible tells a story of a lame man that gate all of his life. 38 years he was there, and he was lame from his mother's womb, the Bible said. But when he was able to walk on his own, the first thing he did was went into the temple. I'm going to show y'all what church is about. He went running, leaping, and praising God. It's decent to praise the Lord. It's decent to worship him. It's decent to be excited about him. It's decent. Somebody say amen. God's praise is in order. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. Pastor Sutton, thank you so much for your friendship and your leadership. Brother Sutton is a tremendous leader. His passion for the church resembles that of the Apostle Paul when he wrote the church and told them, I have you in my heart. That's how he feels about New Life. And I'll tell you, the thing you see here, the positiveness and the excitement, enthusiasm of Barry Sutton is not just a church show. That is Barry Sutton. Whatever you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. We love you, Brother Sutton. And thank you, New Life, for being such an open, free, and loving people. It feels good to be among people who we just love you where you are. Amen. I'm grateful that you're not foolish enough to try to tell me that I'm okay when I'm not. I'm just glad you love me where I am. Somebody say amen. Try to help me get up from where I am. Somebody say amen. That's a real church. A real church ain't going to say it's okay to do wrong. It's okay to live wrong. It's okay to be wrong. That's not a real church. But a real church said you're wrong, but we love you. We can't let you live like that, but we love you. And I thank God for New Life. And the name speaks for itself. A new life. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse number 15. King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. The word target is translated as shields. Made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went into one target. 300 shields he made he of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went into one target. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Now turn with me now to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 9. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them into the hands of the chiefs of the guard. They kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. I won't teach tonight, just for a short time. Shields of gold or shields of brass. Shields of gold or shields of brass. Will you put your Bibles down and clap your hands with me and make a lot of noise for the Lord, for his word. Lift up your voice and thank him for his precious truth. We thank you. We thank you, O Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for your precious truth. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Shields of gold or shields of brass. Step back with me in time just a little and think with me. Think of the splendor of God's temple during the days of King Solomon. From the description that we find in Scripture, the temple had to be a sight to behold. It had to be a sight full of beauty and splendor. But the temple design had been given to David. And God told him that it would be his son Solomon who would build it. The temple was then to become a habitat for God to be able to dwell among his people. In the inaugurational ceremony of this great temple, the Bible says it indeed came to pass when the trumpeteers and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. When the people were all with one voice, when they all made one sound, when they all lifted up their voice, when the people all had one purpose, touch a neighbor on the shoulder, say, I don't know what you come to do, but we need to get on one sheet of music. Tonight we didn't come to exalt our problems. We didn't come tonight to worry about ourselves, but we came tonight to lift up our voice in one accord so that God can do what God does best, minister in his house. It was a beautiful sight to behold, the glory of the Lord filling such a beautiful temple. Solomon became a great man of great wealth, a man of great influence by the hand of God. And through the gold mines that he owned and the gold that was given to him from the various countries, Solomon used it to make many articles that went into the temple. Of those articles that went into the temple, there were the golden shields that he had made. The Bible said that Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. And 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each of those shields. He also made 300 shields, smaller shields, of hammered gold. And 300 shekels went into each of those shields. And the Bible said he put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Now, the large shields contained approximately 15 pounds of gold. At $300 a pound, or per ounce, I'm sorry, that each shield would cost about $72,000 at today's prices. Well, the smaller shields, 5 pounds went into each of them. At the same price, they would be about $24,000 each. Now, these shields were used to line, the Bible says, the entrance of the temple when the king himself would come in to worship. And it is suggested that it would take the length of a football field to line each of these shields up side by side. And as Solomon would make his entrance into the temple, the armor bearers would hold the shield so that you could almost see the brilliance of the gold in the sunshine as the sun shined upon it in a wonderful sunny day. These shields, however, were made more than just for beauty and decoration. They were more than just shields to decorate the temple or some ceremonial event when the king would come into the temple. These shields represented purity. They represented purity in that they represented the holiness of God. They represented the integrity or the personhood of God. God's fullness, God's wholeness, God's completeness, God's integrity. And these gold shields represented the word of God, the excellence of God. The temple was more than just an ordinary church building. Everything in the temple represented God himself. The temple was designed by God, and the shields were designed by God. They were not Solomon's idea. The temple was consecrated by God's presence. It was not the presence of the priest or the presence of the artifacts or the presence of the articles that made it sanctified and consecrated. It was the presence of God. The temple was God's. It was not Solomon's. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Everything in the church, God designed. God designed worship. We didn't design it. God designed the structure and the order of authority. We didn't design it. You can't vote in and vote out holiness. God designed it. You can't vote in and vote out truth. God designed it. If it was the truth back then, it's the truth today. You still must repent of your sins. You still must be baptized in Jesus' name. You still must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You still must live a righteous life. God designed it. It was consecrated by the presence of God. Somebody say the presence of God. I don't want to sound critical. I'm not the kind that preaches against other churches or organizations, but I've been places where they honor the furniture more than they do the presence of God. Don't touch that table. Don't touch that chair. Don't touch this and that. It's so precious to them, but they won't honor the presence of God. I want to tell you something. You can have the presence of God whether you're in a beautiful sanctuary like this or in a coal shed in the backyard. Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Can somebody in this room feel the presence of the Lord tonight? The temple was God's. It was not Solomon's. I'm glad to know a man like Barry Sutton, because he acknowledges all the time that this is God's kingdom. It's not our own. I don't know about most people, but this is not our church. It's God's church. We just happen to be His children and blessed to live in His house. But He declared, upon this rock, I will build my church, His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is not a democracy. It doesn't matter what public opinion or popular opinion says. I've been around long enough to know some folk get together and say, well, Pastor, a few of us was talking, and I ain't the only one feel this way. I wouldn't care if all y'all felt this way. It's not your house. It's God's house. God calls the shots. The board don't call the shots. The elders don't call the shots. The population don't call the shots. It comes from the throne. It's God's house. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder. Say, it's God's house. Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon built, stood for more than 400 years until the Babylonians, under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed it in 586 BC. But after the death of Solomon, the king was divided, the kingdom was divided, and his son Rehoboam became king over Judah. Judah, the two southern tribes of Judah, and Benjamin, that was the tribe or the kingdom of Judah. Rehoboam, the Bible said, did evil in the sight of the Lord because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. There's a lot of people who come to church for whatever reason they come, and I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they show up. But the problem is they often leave the way they came because they did not come with a heart made up to seek the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you leave from the house of God after hearing a word from the Lord and you walk back into a shack up situation, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cause any problems with anybody, but you walk back into a shack up situation, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying that there's evil in the sight of the Lord because you had not prepared your heart to seek God. Because if you had your mind made up to seek the Lord, He tell you, you don't need to live like that. I can be your friend. I can be your comforter. I'll be the one your love. I'll be the one to hold you in the night. I'll be the one to keep you together. You don't have to lose your mind if you follow after the Lord. There are those who come to the house of the Lord and leave depressed. Oh, I need some help here tonight. They leave depressed. I'm not trying to criticize you for being in depression. I'm not trying to criticize you for what the doctors call depression. But I will tell you the Bible that in His presence is the fullness of joy. And God is still God. And He's not God supplemented by Prozac. He's God
all by himself. He's not God supplemented with clinical therapy. He's God all by himself. Touch your neighbor on the shoulders and neighbor, you can praise your way through anything. You can praise your way out of depression. You can praise your way out of sorrow. You can praise your way through your sickness. You can praise your way through your poverty. You can praise your way through anything. Do I have somebody to believe what I just said? You can praise your way. Through anything. But Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord because he did not prepare his heart to see the Lord. So the second book of Chronicles tells us that God used Shishak, the king of Egypt, and his army to subdue Judah, but not destroy them. You have to understand now that when we are not living the way God desires for us to live, he uses the world and he uses sinners as an instrument in his hand to get our attention. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, the Bible says, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. The Bible said, he took everything. He carried away the golden shields which Solomon had made. And the Bible said, then Rehoboam made bronze shield or brass shields in their place and committed them into the hands of the guards or the captain of the guards who guarded the doorway of the kingdom or the doorways of the temple. And whenever the king would enter into the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out, and then they would take them back to the guard room. Shishak took the gold shields that Solomon had made. Now, some might think of the value of the shields that were taken, the monetary value, 72,000 each, 300, 72,000 times 300. What a number. Then $24,000 each, 300 times. And they might think of the monetary value of the shields that were taken. But with those shields were taken more than just the value of gold. With those shields were taken the purity and the integrity and the excellency of God. It was removed from the people. And I want you to know that they had come to the place to where they learned how to have church without God. There's a lot of people today who've allowed the enemy to come in and really rob them of the things that are important in the house and the kingdom of God. They've got great choirs, excellent facilities, wonderful music, powerful structure and organization. They've got all kinds of activities and programs, program after program. They got recognition in the community. They got famous names and faces, but they don't have the righteousness and the holiness of God. They don't have, oh, I wish I had somebody. They don't have the integrity and the wisdom of God, and they don't have the excellency of the word. And the Bible tells us that they allowed this king. This king came and took all that they had. They were invaded from the outside because they were infected from the inside. They forgot their God. I don't know about what anybody else would say, but I don't need anything else that anybody has to offer. I need God. I don't know about you, but I need God. I can do without some stuff, and I can do without some folk, but I can't do without God. I don't need a fancy building. I need God. I don't need air conditioning and padded seats. I need God. I don't need programs. I need God. I wouldn't care if this was the raggediest church building on the block, so long as as I can see the presence of the Lord, and there's a word from the Lord in the house. Can you say amen? But rather than risk all in order to gain the shields back, Rehoboam made a decision to replace them with brass. Shields of brass. They looked good. When you polished them, they looked like gold. They reflected the brilliance of the sun just like gold. But one thing to remember, they were still brass. They were not gold. Gold is gold, and it doesn't need any help being gold. Can you say amen? They were a good substitute, but substitutes just like brass will tarnish over time. I wish I had a witness here. And today, many people use a lot of substitutes to make themselves feel like they're getting the real thing. You know folk use all kinds of substitutes. Substitute sugar. Substitute salt. Substitute this and that. Are you following me here? Now they've even gotten to where you substitute religion. You don't need to talk about doctrine. We just need to worship. You don't need to talk about this. We just need to worship. You don't need to talk about heaven and hell. We just need to praise God. You don't need, are you hearing me now? I don't want a religion that excludes God. I don't care where you are, who you are, where you've been. You need a word from the Lord. Now, I like music like the next man. I like a good sound like the next person. I like a beautiful building. I love air conditioning. I love everything that anybody else would like that's comfortable, but that is not my religion. That is not where I lay my faith at. I like a church that's got good activities for the young people. I like a church that can find something for young people to be busy, and I like that, but that's not where my faith is. I'm so glad that there's churches that's got things for families and retreats and fishing trips for men. And I like all of that. But that's not to substitute truth. I want to tell you something. If we never went fishing, if we never had a basketball game, if we never had a church dinner, so long as we've got the presence and the power of the Lord, I need the real thing. Tell your neighbor, we need a real thing. Somebody said, he's like Delta. He's ready when you are. He's like Coke. He's the real thing. He's like VO5. He holds in all kinds of weather. He's like Pepsi. You got the right one, baby. And they said, he's like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. I don't have to feel him. I don't have to see him. I just know he promised me he'd be there. And I don't need a substitute. I don't really need programs. I just have to have the presence of the Lord. There is a New Testament application here too. Oh, the Bible says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you know who you are? And don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Remember now, the temple was designed by God, and now you are designed by God. I wish I had a witness here. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you know why you are here? You're not here for yourself. God designed you. He structured you. He put you together. He fixed you like he wanted you. He gave you everything he gave you so that you can be there for him to dwell in, for his glory. You're not here to find a man. You're not here to find a woman. You're not here to find a better job. You are here for the glory and the glory of God and God's glory only. The temple was consecrated by God. Just like the temple was consecrated by God's presence, so are you. You can't make it without God. You can have church without him, but you can't really live a real life without him. You might have silver and you might have gold, but you still need Jesus. You might have a job in corporate America, but you still need Jesus. You might have friends that surround you and make you feel happy with your stuff, but you still need Jesus. Can somebody say amen? You might not think you need him, but one of these old days, you're going to close your eyes on this side of life, and you're going to lift up your eyes somewhere, for we all have a divine appointment. And you can have silver, but you can't take it with you. You can have gold, and you can't take it with you. You can have riches and fame, but you can't take it with you. Can somebody say amen? And I'd rather go to heaven riding a bicycle, wearing Goodwill clothes, living in the projects, than to go to hell in a Rolls Royce, wearing a Rolex and expensive clothes. Can somebody say yes? Yeah. We belong to God. We are not our own. But there's some in this world, just like Rehoboam, who forgot God and forgot why God made the temple and made us his temple. I wonder how many people today have brass relationships with God. They have substituted purity and integrity and the excellence of true worship and relationship with God for the substitutes of brass. Consider, if you will, with me, how many people have substituted the gold shield of revival and replaced it with the brass shield of remembering what I used to be. I wish I had a witness here. You see, there are a lot of people who live in their yesterday. They live in the past, but they don't really understand that your yesterday don't make you who God planned for you to be. There's some things you got to remember about revival. It starts right now. Revival don't start with your past. It doesn't really matter where you've been. You could have come from a broken home, or you could have been a child of a millionaire. That means absolutely nothing to God. If you're going to have revival, you got to start right now. You got to repent right now. You got to surrender right now. You got to worship. You see, Brother Sutton, there are some people who don't like to let go of yesterday. There's some folk who don't like to let go of yesterday. Now, I'm not being critical, but New Life, there'd be some folk that chase y'all out to sanctuary. They like things the way they used to be. They don't want revival. They want to remember the good old days. You remember how it used to be, Brother Sutton. All this new music, all this shouting going on around here. That's how it used to be. We used to just come in church. We used to just come in church and lift our hands. And the Holy Ghost would send the Spirit out in the streets, and sinners would just walk in. We don't need all this now. Where they been? Back in their day, they weren't talking about men getting married. Where they been? Back in their day, they didn't have rated R movies on public television. Where they been? Back in their day, they didn't have folks shooting up schools and crack dealers on every corner and young men going to prison for life for shooting each other over jackets. Where they been? Friend, we need revival. We don't need yesterday. We need revival. We need a church on fire. Won't you shake somebody's hand and say, let's have revival? Yeah. They have replaced the shield of gold, golden shield of excellence, replaced by the brass shield of acceptance. Can't you just accept me as I am? Acceptance is a good thing, so long as it doesn't cross the barrier of lowering the standard of God's word. See, the world cries out for tolerance, tolerance of sin. And we now have to, as Christians, in order to quote unquote show our love, we have to assume that we can say everything is all right. Can't you just accept me like I am? Of course we do. We accept you just like you are. So does the emergency room. When you go to the emergency room, they don't care what kind of condition you're in. They accept you just like you are. A bullet hole in your shoulder or your neck or your chest, your face all scarred up from a car accident, a leg missing, an arm missing, a stroke, it really doesn't matter. They accept you just like you are. But they are there to fix you up and get you ready to go back to life. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Oh, yes, we accept you like you are. But don't you think for 1 minute that we're not going to try to change you. We're not going to try to grow you. Try to... It is not the job of the church to let you stay sick. The church is not a museum. It is a hospital. Did you hear what I said? The church is not a museum. It is a hospital. Now, you got two kind of things in a museum. You got those priceless, beautiful things that are on display that you can't touch. They are just so precious. You got to have guards around them. Alarms and cases. You got some folk like that in church. They think the church is their museum. See how holy I am? I am not going to lay hands on them. Their spirit might get on me. I'm not going to their home to teach Bible studies. They smoke. And then you got some who think the church is a museum. Just like they bring old dirty mummy, old broken vase from Egypt. They set it up there and they display its brokenness, its messed upness. The church is not a museum. It is a hospital. When you come in to the emergency room of the church, when you come in through the doors of the church, you might be broken, you might be bruised, you might be wounded, you might be deep in sin, but the blood of Jesus is here to meet you in the church. We've come to revive, we've come to save, we've come to change. Some have replaced the gold shield of righteousness for the brass shield of political correctness. You see, I don't ever want to be wrong. Anything I do is right if that's what I feel. We live in a world now where it's wrong to tell people something is wrong. And the only thing wrong is believing that something is right. Don't you know it's wrong now to tell folk that it's a sin for shacking up? Shh. Don't you know, I had, this is the truth, this is the God's honest truth. I had a man come in my office about a week ago. I'm telling the truth now. And he was mad, man, he was mad. I got to tell you about this, Pastor Ellis, he said. My pastor, I left that church too, he said. I left that church because my pastor told me I couldn't be on the praise team no more. I'm looking like, okay, what happened? See, because I got this girlfriend that comes down from a certain state. And instead of, you know, her staying in a hotel, she stays with me. And the pastor said, unless y'all get married, you can't be on the praise team. Because you can't live like you're living. I said, she stays with you. Let me clarify something. Y'all sleeping together? He said, of course. But it ain't all out in public. Ain't nobody's business but ours. I said, man, don't you know that sin? But that don't matter. I can still be on the praise team. I'm saying, what part of this don't he understand? What you gonna be up there talking about? I love the Lord and I won't take it back. Come on, honey, let's go. Oh, man, I got to stop. I'm about to get carnal here. How are you going to be saying, Jesus, you're my everything? While service is going on the praise team. Then you get in the car, look at it, and say, let's get it on. And don't you know he's not the only one that thinks like that? I just read an article the other day. A young hospice patient, 22 years old, his dying wish for the hospital, his dying wish was that he lose his virginity, and the hospital and the clergy and his parents went out and hired him a prostitute. I would have accepted it if it was just a hospital. I probably could have dealt with it if it was just his mom and daddy being ignorant in sin. But when you tell me that a preacher of the gospel gives a man as his dying wish a sin to commit, I've got a problem with that. You know the problem? Somebody took away the gold shield of righteousness. Church, we serve a righteous God, and we just cannot accept everything. They've replaced the gold shield of prayer with the brass shield, pondering and planning. I'm an organized person. I like organization. I like structure. I like order. I like things right. I like planning. I like setting goals. I like all of those things. I think it's important. But I don't think any of those things work without prayer. And as a pastor, it may not happen in Birmingham, but it sure happens in Tennessee. As a pastor, I have been confronted over the last 24 years with some of the most intelligent, articulate, organized, able people that a pastor could confront who got all of the abilities that any man could want in an organization, but they won't spend any time on their knees. They'll show up at picnics, concerts, dinners, and activities, but the room will be empty at prayer time. They'll respond with criticism for anything that doesn't go right, and they'll give you their opinion, an opinion that came without prayer. They'll offer the criticism. They'll offer the insight. They'll offer the "if I was in charge." They'll offer the understanding, all of which they have without the season of prayer. New Life, you are going someplace different in 2007. You're going to another level in 2007. But for every new level, there are new devils. And if you do not pray, you can get caught up in your own deceit. I don't really care how much education you have, how much influence you have. You have got to spend time on your knees in prayer. There are people who leave services, Brother Sutton, and there's something they didn't like. Something didn't quite click with them. You don't have that in Birmingham. I know you don't, but I've got that in Clarksville. But ask them, how many hours this week did they spend praying about these things they saw? How many tears they wept and shed about these things they saw? The criticism that they offered, how much of that came from the anointing or just from being annoyed? The brass shields of pondering, planning, can never be a replacement for the gold shield of prayer. Don't you know the most uneducated man can find the mind of God on his knees, while a man with degrees, enough degrees to make a thermometer, can't hear the voice of God if it slapped him? I don't know about you, but I need to get on my knees. Can you stand to your feet right now and lift your hands and begin calling on the name of the Lord? We don't need new organizations. We don't need more mechanics. We don't need more things. We need people who will pray, who will get on their knees and restore the things of God in prayer. We're not going to be like Rehoboam. We're not going to separate. We're not going to substitute the golden shields for brass. But we're going to step out and say, we're going to take back what the enemy has come in, stolen from us. We're going to pray. We're going to fight. Do I have anybody in this room that's going to fight?
Yes.
I'm going to stay on my knees till I get a breakthrough. I'm going to stay on my knees till I find the mind of God for my family. I'm going to stay on my knees till I find the will of God. I'm going to stay on my knees until I find my purpose in the body. I will not leave another service the same way I came. I will not leave empty. I will not leave dry. I will not leave without a revelation. I will not leave without power. I will not leave without direction. I will restore. I will not settle for less than God's best for me. Brass looks good. It shines good. But it's not the best. And good is the worst enemy of best. But I've made up in my mind tonight. I won't have anything less than God's best for me. Every person in this room, God designed you. He made you. He shaped you. He formed you for something magnificent that he plans to do through you. Don't walk out of this room tonight without making up in your mind, as of today, as of this minute, as of this moment, I am totally surrendered to the plan of God for my life. I'm accepting no more substitutes, no more cheap imitations of a move of God, but I'm going to spend time on my knees. I'm not worrying about what other people are thinking. I'm not worried about what other people are saying, what they feel about me. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to rise up and take back what God has for me. Lift your hands right now. And the Bible says, when he humbled himself, the wrath of God turned from him, as so not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah. That's what we need to do tonight, church. We need to humble ourselves and repent. All over the room, can you just lift your voice right now and begin saying, God, I'm sorry. If I haven't done all that I'm supposed to do, if I've accepted things in my life, if I allowed myself to give you the second best, if I've allowed compromise into my life, if I've made excuses, if I pointed the finger of blame at others for my own failures, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If I've looked at others critically while looking at myself, accepting my own sins and making excuses for my own sins while your work suffers because of me and my absence and my lack of giving and my lack of participation, forgive me. If I've been more caught up in my pleasures, my recreation, my self-indulgence, concerning myself with my own survival, forgive me. If I've got something in my life that keeps me from approaching you, God, the way you need to be approached, forgive me. If I am living a lie, if I'm asking you to forgive me while I fail to forgive others, forgive me. All over the room, you lift your hands, begin praying a prayer of repentance. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Can you just say yes, Lord?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
just say yes to the Lord. God's got something for you to do. Say yes.
Yes.
All over the room, everybody, just say yes, Lord.
Yes.
If you need the Holy Ghost, won't you just lift your hands right now? Let the Holy Ghost fall on you. If you need renewing, you need restoration, you need refreshing, just lift your hands and say yes. That's right. Yeah. Oh, come on, church. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Voice and say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That this year, we're going to another level.
See you.